Good morning, church. Thank you so much for being here this morning. I appreciate it very much. I pray that you will have a wonderful experience here today. If you're here today with us and you're visiting for the first time or for the first time in a long time, we'll welcome you. And I just, in your bulletin, you'll find a little connection card there. If you'd be happy to, fill out that card for us, on the back side of that, you'll see where there are places for prayer requests. We'd love to have those as well. And we can pray over those during the week and especially on Wednesday night. We thank you so much for doing that. I have a couple of announcements here. There will be a memorial service here for Eloy's wife, Gloria, who passed. The service is going to be here Tuesday afternoon at 1 o'clock. Then Miss Katie passed last Friday. We'll have that service on the 7th of March at 10:30 in the morning. And you're encouraged to be there for both of those if you would. And I talked to Gina just a minute ago, and although it seems like a long way off, it won't be. VBS will be June the 7th through the 11th. If you have taught in VBS or you have helped in VBS, we very much would want you to repeat that experience. If you'd like to become a part of the VBS team, then please see Gina. We're going to let you know there's associational training that's available as well. And we will let you know when that particular training day is, and we'd love for you to do that. VBS literally changed my life, and I won't take the time to tell you, but should you think that maybe you're too old or you've never done that before or you're not sure you'll like it, trust me. It's a great, great experience to work with our kids. So please be praying over that, and if you would like to join us, we'd love to have you join us. I pray that this morning the Lord will speak to you up close and personal through his word, through the singing, through the praying. And I genuinely appreciate you being here. God bless you so much, Brother Mark.
Good morning, everyone. Let's all stand and sing hymn number 212, My Jesus, I Love Thee. Hymn number 210.
My Jesus, I love thee.
Instruments continue to play. We want to invite our deacons and anybody else that would like to come to the front and share this time of prayer with us here at the altar. You may be seated. Thank you.
Let's go to word and prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for each and every one here today, Lord, that we come to honor you and give you honor and glory. Lord, brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, thank you for the many blessings you put upon us each day, each and every one of us. Lord, I just lift up our military, keep them out of harm's way best as possible. Lord, and be with our government leaders, Lord, that they make great choices. Lord, again, be with Brother Kenny this morning. He gives a message, Lord, to mean something to us and we can share it with someone else. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for everything you do for us. Amen.
Let's continue this worship service by standing and singing He Lives. Let's everybody stand, please.
But an angel appeared and said to them, "Don't be afraid. This Jesus you're looking for is no longer here. He is risen, just like he said."
Thank you for allowing us together to worship you and give you all the praise, Father. I thank you for all these believers that have gathered together today. And Father, now it just comes time for us just to give a portion of what you've given us back to you to further your kingdom, Father. Again, just thank you for everything you've done. And we're going to give you all the praise and glory today, for it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Let's stand again and sing hymn number 485. Let's all stand, please. Stand up for Jesus. Come and sing for us.
Tell me Jesus died for my transgressions, and he paid this price a long, long time ago, when he gave his life for me on that hill called Calvary. But there's something else I really want to know. Listen, does he still feel the nails every time I fail? Can he hear the crowd cry, crucify again? Am I causing him pain? Then I know I gotta change. I just can't bear this thought of hurting him. It seems that I'm so good at breaking promises. I treat his precious grace so carelessly. But each time he forgives. But what if he relives the agony he felt on that tree? Does he still feel the nail every time I fail? Can he hear the crowd cry, crucify again? Am I causing him pain? Then I know I gotta change. I just can't bear this thought of hurting him. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Do you still feel the nail? Every time I bear, have I crucified you, Jesus, with my sins? Lord, Lord, I'm tired of playing games. Lord, I really want to change. I never want to hurt you again. Forgive me, Jesus. Forgive me, Jesus. Lord, I call upon your mighty, mighty name. I praise you, Jesus. I praise you, Jesus.
All right. My contact will not stick in my eye now. Thank you, Randy. Powerful song. Powerful song. Thank you so much for being here again today. I want to give you some marvelous news. It's already in your bulletin, but I'm going to emphasize it again. Tonight we have a movie night. 6 o'clock. I can't overestimate how valuable this movie is. I've seen it. My wife has seen it. Oh my goodness. It's a true story. Based on a true story. Even if you've seen it, it's worth seeing again and again and again. I want you to be here. So please, if you got nothing going on at 6 o'clock tonight, that's going to be better than this, then I would love to see you here. I think you will be touched by the movie based on a true story. So please come and be with us. All right. If you'll turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. What a powerful chapter. My goodness. I'm not going to read all of it now. I'll get back to some of it a little bit later. But I want to read, a few verses in the middle of it. Look at verse 6 and following. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 6. Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy. And I'm going to stop right there. Would you join me in prayer, Father? I want to thank you for this privilege tonight, today, to bring forth your word. I want to thank you for the opportunity, Father, to share some good news, Father, about the subject of worship and giving. Lord, so many times we mess that up because we don't talk about the heart. And Father, I pray today that you would open our hearts to this process. What a privilege it is to be included in the economy of the kingdom of God. What an incredible blessing. What an incredible privilege. Because we know without a shadow of a doubt that there's no way we could outgive you in any way, form, or fashion. So I'm asking you, Lord, to let us set aside the cares of the world that we may have brought into this house today. Clear our minds, clear our hearts, clear our understanding. Lord, let us be sponges for your word and for your spirit. And I pray, God, that you would speak to all of us up close and personal today, for this is indeed a worship experience. And Lord, may we worship as we learn about you. We love you and we appreciate you for all you are and all that you do. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. We've been talking about worship. We talked about worship and music. We talked about worship and prayer. Now we're talking about worship and giving. And we talked last week a little bit about that as well, about the giving of praise and the pleasure that's ours to praise our God. He is certainly worthy of every effort of praise that would come from our lips. We sing the great songs of the faith. We sing and we praise God with our lips. And it's not inappropriate at all to shout hallelujah to the great God that we serve. The praise that we have to offer him, he certainly deserves every bit of that praise. And this is the place that we have the privilege to do that corporately together. And I have ridden down the road and shouted like a little child with a $20 bill in the candy store, I don't really care who sees me. Maybe you've been there as well. The thing about it is, God loves our praise. God lives in our praise. God blesses our praise. God encourages our praise. Even God commands our praise. And we hit the privilege to do all of that. Psalm 96, verse 7 says, give unto the Lord glory and strength. And I wondered about that. I understand the giving unto the Lord glory, but how do you give unto to the Lord strength when he's the strongest? He's the strongest one there ever has been and ever will be. And I began to understand as I read a little bit more that this talks about the area of expressing genuine worship to our Lord through the giving of the gifts of labor and work and toil and effort. And I said, okay, this is basically stewardship 101, the giving of our time and of our talent and of our resources, and I get that. But oftentimes we don't talk about that from the perspective of worship. You know, knowing that the Lord Jesus is worthy of all of our worship always and forever will be, we get that privilege. So what in the world does that mean, that I should give God strength, giving to God worship unto strength? And in the book that I read helped me to understand a lot of what that meant, and I want to share some of those things with you. It involves giving with a sanctified, non-pretentious kind of heart. You say, okay, Pastor, you know, I didn't bring Webster Dictionary with me. What are you talking about? Sanctified means basically dedicated or consecrated, made holy, set apart as holy, to make free from sin. And the idea of pretentious means a feeling of being superior or making claims of some importance or excellence. It's like ostentatious, a showy display of wealth or knowledge. And the thing about it is what he's saying here is that our giving from the heart is not a giving that draws attention to us. It's a giving that draws attention to him and the worthiness that he has of receiving that. You say, well, Brother Kenny, what does that look like? Well, I'm happy to share some of the things that it looks like, and you can fill in the blanks of your own experiences here. You know, the principle basically is as limitless as the gifts that God has given you. Maybe you're a carpenter. Maybe you're a mechanic. Maybe you're an interior decorator. I mean, there are all sorts of things. Maybe you love to do this or that or the other, and he gave me some examples. You know, to the person with the gift of time and charity, it might mean, you know, serving around in the church nursery, taking care of those little ones. It might mean to the one who has the gift of carpentry to simply say, okay, out of a labor of love, I'd like to work around the church, maybe constructing sets for a drama or working on building a platform for the use by the choir or building scenery or working whatever way or tightening up screws on the bottom of a loose pew or a railing or something along that line. Lord, I have the gift of being able to work with wood, and I love being able to do that. So how can I serve you by doing that? How can I worship you by giving of the talent that you have given me? That's kind of what this is all about. Giving is not so much about dollars and cents in this area as it is about time and interests and hobbies, you know, the things that you love to do that you get the privilege to do. If you have medical knowledge, maybe you were a doctor or a nurse, you know, with a gift of mercy, you might volunteer to serve in a medical team that might go to an underdeveloped country. Or you might want to serve in your own church. Many of you know that we've purchased a couple of AEDs. That's the right letters, isn't it, Mark? I'm not medical. Okay, I might need medical, but I'm not medical. But we're at the process now where we're going to be having some training on how to use that equipment so that we might be able to serve those here. And how you use what God has given you becomes an act of worship. Am I giving it to Him because He gave it to me? Am I sharing that with those people that God has put in my presence, that I have the privilege to do church with, that I have the privilege to serve beside? These are my brothers and sisters, or these are visitors who God sent here. How can I serve them with the abilities that you've given me? And believe it or not, folks, that's an act of worship. And we don't often look at it that way. When you give it unto God because He gave it unto you to give, you are signifying that you're worthy of this and I do this for you. Everything that we do service-wise, my friends, should be done unto the Lord for His glory and for our growth. That's how it's designed to be. If I give it to you because you gave it to me to give to you, now it becomes a worship experience. And it needs to be understood that way. You say, well, why doesn't it feel like that sometimes? Why do I feel like it's just expected? Because that's the old devil whispering in our ears. Hey, this is all about you because you got that talent, you got that ability. No, it's not about you. Tell him to mind his own business. He ain't got no business here. This place doesn't belong to him. You know, maybe you got the gift of administration. You got talents of administration. Maybe you'd want to head up some kind of a ministry because you do have a gift of administration. And Susanna will call you out wherever you're at. There you are, right there. Not long ago, of her own free will, out of her own desire, she comes and says to me, I'd like to lead our outreach team. That's what I'm talking about. You know, you got gifts you may have never discovered. Not long ago on a Wednesday night, I handed out a bunch of gifts tests. And I'm not seeing the single one of them back yet, so I don't know what's going on with that. I don't know if you figured out, oh my gosh, if he knows that, he's going to put me to work. That's a good call. That would be exactly what we would try to do. But knowing what giftedness you have, knowing what you're passionate about. For a long time, I felt like a tonsil in the body of Christ. You know, go ahead and just cut me out and throw me away. It really doesn't matter anyway. I don't know why I'm here. You know, how many of you are in close, you know, do you love your tonsils? What are they all about? My buddy says, you know what? He said, I feel like the whole world is a tuxedo and I'm a brown shoe. That's pointed, isn't it? But I want you to know this morning, if your Heavenly Father gave you a gift, and He did, and maybe He gave you multiple gifts, there's an expectation for why you have those. And you are to use those for His glory, for your growth, and for the edifying, which is the building up of the body of Christ. So as I'm thinking about this, you know, I'm thinking, well, how preacher, are you going to sell this whole idea to the congregation? Now, we're supposed to give God strength. We're supposed to give God from the strength that we have and the passion that we have. So worship involves playing of the piano or the organ or the guitar. Worship means serving them little kids who may not have a clue about what you're doing or why, or working with young people or working with senior adults or flipping lights on and off or cooking food. I mean, you name it, my friend. When you do that unto the Lord, I can promise you He misses none of that. He misses none of that. You and I may not ever know what you're doing. and nor should we need to know. These are gifts of labor that are acceptable unto our Heavenly Father. And when we give those with a humble spirit and the right kind of heart, imagine what an outstanding opportunity that is for you and I to say, you know what, God, I love you this much. And as the song Randy just sang, he said, I don't ever want to disappoint you. You know, I hope and pray that the way that I live and the way that I serve, you would never, ever again have to feel the nails, to feel the pain of what you felt on the cross because of me, because I'm living in some level of disobedience. Sometimes we give and nobody knows. I have a good friend. Meet with them every Wednesday night. You know, I've heard this over and over again, but this guy's really special. Both of them are special. But Steve is the kind of guy that would do anything for you if he could. He has the truest gift of giving of anybody that I've ever met. He loves doing it, and you got to watch it because he'll outgive anything you could ever think of. He said, my dad, who was a missionary in Bolivia, that's where he grew up, he said, my dad used to say to me, you go ahead and you do nice things for people. You should do nice things for people. You give of the ability that God gave you to give of your time and your talent. And he said, but here's the deal. If any more than two people know what you're doing it for the wrong reason. Give that some thought for just a minute. So I think maybe, yeah, we'll do a little check on our motive for doing what we do, on our heart. Steve was telling me a couple weeks ago, I don't know if I can get through this or not. Bear with me. God squeezes my heart and the water comes out of my face. That's the way he does it. I'm not ashamed. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not ashamed. I just wish the timing were different. He said, I used to go into a convenience store on my way home from work every day. And he says, if you'll drink an icy when it's really, really hot outside, if you go in and get one of those icies and you'll drink that, it'll bring your body temperature down and it'll cool you off. He works outside. Okay? A lot outside. So he said, every afternoon for about a month, I was going in, and this was last August, and he said it was hot, miserable hot. I'd go stop there and get that icy. He said sometimes my shirt would be almost completely wet. He works for the children's home in Lakeland. And the same guy was there for that shift. He worked that shift all the time. He said I would come in, and I'd get my icy, and I'm wore out, but he says I'm always smiling, and he is. If you see him, he's 90% of the time he's smiling, and he's like our own local joker, me and Randy. Loves to have fun and laugh and cut up. So he's got this smile on his face every afternoon when he pays for his icy. So one time the clerk behind the counter stopped him. He said, hey, listen, I got a question for you. He said, what's up? What's up with this smile? He said, don't you have a bad day ever? He said, oh, yeah. Yeah, matter of fact, a lot of them are bad this time of the year. He said, but you're always smiling. I don't understand that. What's the deal? He said, you know what? I need to take you to lunch, to dinner. I said, why on earth would you do that? He said, I'd just like to take you to dinner because I'd give an opportunity then to tell you why I'm smiling. So he took him to the Wingman Men's Ministry at First Baptist at the Mall, which is now Lakes Church. And that's a men's ministry designed specifically for men. They feed you, and then they have a curriculum there that they teach the Word of God. And this particular night, they offered an invitation, and this guy got saved. On a Wednesday night, first visit, simply because he took him to church, and he smiled a lot. And the smile was what gave him the opportunity to share with the guy that he would like to take him to lunch. So Steve said, I couldn't wait to get back out there on Thursday afternoon on my way home to see him again, see how he was doing, considering he got saved on Wednesday night. He said, I went there, and he wasn't there for whatever reason, and I didn't ask. I just got my icy and went on home. He said, so I went back out there every afternoon for 2 weeks. And he said he wasn't there. And finally, I couldn't handle it any longer. So I looked at the guy behind the counter who had replaced him. I said, hey, where's the... And he told me the guy's name, and I can't remember the guy's name. I said, where's so-and-so? He said, you haven't heard? He said, have heard what? He said, 2 weeks ago on a Thursday morning coming to work, he got killed on his motorcycle. That's the day after his salvation experience. Listen, this thing about giving, you don't ever know, ever, whose life you're going to be part of changing. We get so twisted up when pastors and teachers talk about giving because we think it's all about dollars and cents. And let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Let me share this with you. That's just a small part of giving and worship. Some of you got talent beyond anything that we have ever seen. Are you using it for the glory of God? Or have you put it on the shelf because somehow you don't think it's valuable? Listen, make no mistake. You are given something by a Heavenly Father who has expectations for you to use it. And the longer you don't use it, the worse it gets. You ever tried to start a car after it's been sitting in your yard for 3 years? Why didn't it want to start? And ask Paul. Paul will tell you, he knows. I can tell you, because it wasn't being used. It was designed for you to use it, for you to drive it, for you to get from A to B with it. But if it sits in your yard and collects dust, chances are pretty good when time comes for you to use it, it will not function the way it's supposed to. I believe deeply that's the same way with our own personal gifts. When it says giving strength to God, it means I need to be aware that there's an expectation that comes with my gift that I should labor and I should toil and I should give. And blood, you know, we got a house full of those people right here, and I praise God for you. I praise God for you. You give above and beyond, and it shows. But will there ever be too much? No. No, because he will always be worthy. We and I can never give too much. We can't. It's impossible. And you can't outgive God. It doesn't matter who gets the credit. It doesn't matter. You'll do things that nobody will ever know about this side of heaven. And make sure you understand that our Heavenly Father does not miss a single thing that you do for Him. I've often wondered what it meant to store up treasures in heaven, like the Word of God teaches us. I think this has a lot to do with it. Steve would also buy 20 bicycles at Christmas and take them down to the local church who had the program working with really tough and underdeveloped neighborhoods. He'd buy 20 bicycles every Christmas and take them down to the church, and they would distribute them to those that had needs. And then his son was raised, obviously, with him at home. And when his son got old enough to have a job, graduated from college, he said, "Dad, I want to buy half of these bicycles," because he was the example for his son. And you never know who's watching you. You never know whose life you're going to change because you decided to give, you know. And the bottom line is, before I change gears here, give it your best shot, but you cannot outgive God. You can't. You can't. And the whole part of the message that I haven't really been looking forward to, but you have to give me just a tiny amount of credit. I've been here 16 months, and I've never talked to you about money, have I? Well, guess what? I'm fixing to break that. If y'all got an off switch, don't do like this. Click. Please don't do that just yet. This is not nearly as bad as you think. Finally, I believe that genuine worship involves giving God an offering. That's what the scripture says. Amen. Giving God an offering. And there are two kinds of offerings basically listed in the Word of God. There's the offerings of praise, which comes from our lips and from our service, and our offering of our possessions. Both are needed. Both are biblical. Both are instructed. Both are commanded. Both are necessary for our own well-being, both individually and corporately. And it becomes a privilege for you and I to be able to do that. Giving an offering, according to the scripture, needs to be done with a heart full of devotion to the Lord. We give to Him because He is certainly worthy to receive our gifts. He deserves every one of those. And everything that we give because we've been given to. Giving an offering, you know, with that kind of a heart makes all the difference in the world. The motives for giving are of great importance. They should be non-pretentious. In other words, I should give and not make it about me. The Bible is pretty clear about people who gave. Some of the religious leadership gave in the New Testament, and they threw their money into a metal container so it could be heard all the way across the temple to draw attention to themselves. The Bible does not say we need to do that. I'm going to take a minute or two here and read some more of this chapter. This is so powerful. It's David, King David here. He's helping the princes and the people understand the value of the offering that needs to be made for the house of God. He also finishes that up by expressing his incredible gratitude, not only to God, but to God's people who know the same thing. So let's read a bunch of 1 Chronicles chapter 29, if you're still there. This is gold, my friends. This is a wonderful passage of Scripture. Verse 1, furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistening stones and of diverse colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, and the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the house withal, the gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? So he's putting a question out there. So considering all this has been done, who then here is willing to consecrate his service this day to who? Unto the Lord. Then the chief of the fathers and the princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly and gave of the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams and of silver 10,000 talents and of brass 18,000 talents and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the Lord, to the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced for that they had offered willingly because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy. I want to back up just a little bit. From David's own treasury, he gave 112 tons of gold, 262 tons of silver. Of the people, when the offering opportunity came, they gave 188 tons of gold and 375 tons of silver. And if you go on and do the math, it is unbelievable what they brought forth at the request of David. Verse 10 says, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. That, my friend, is a willing heart. That is the joy and the privilege that David had to share in the assembly of the house of the Lord. You know, so he took it as an opportunity and a privilege. He offers, you know, he gathers offerings for the building of the temple. King David was a warrior, my friends, and as such he had to shed blood. And it was predicted or it was printed that he was not going to be able to do anything from specifically participating in the building of the temple except giving. So David helped in building the temple by giving offering personally from his own treasury unto the Lord. God had forbid him for building the temple. Solomon was going to build it. So what was David's process in giving to the Lord. Now he realized, I'm not going to be able to physically put my hands on it. I can't saw the lumber and I can't nail the nails, but I can give of my resources and I can make this thing happen. First of all, the process that David done, he said he had an unquestionable affection for the Lord. David loved God with all of his heart, and he had every right to do that, and he had every reason to do that. And because he loved the Lord with every fiber of his being and every part of his heart, he found it necessary an opportunity to give unto the Lord. Second of all, he consecrated himself and the people. In other words, they successfully led God's chosen people to give unto the Lord. He led them by example. He didn't tell them, well, y'all need to get off your wallets and get down here and build this place. I'm the king and I can make that rule. No, no, ma'am, no, sir. He gave of his own resources. He led by example. So what did that look like? We just read what it looked like, and I won't rehearse it in your ears again. The word important, willingly. They did that of desire. They wanted to be a part of the process that God had set for them. Literally, if you take those weights and you measure them out in today's standards by which the gold and the silver and the brass would have been, the value, my friend, would have been in the billions, not in the millions, but in the billions. They had the opportunity and they did that because they were supposed to and because they wanted to. I love the note in the book that I read. It said, the key here is their commitment to offer willingly to the Lord, to give voluntarily from the heart. David gave his personal fortune to build the temple, a fortune that was almost immeasurable. By today's standards, the gift is estimated in the billions of dollars, and we still don't know exactly how much. Not only did he and his people give willingly, but they gave their finest. The gold of Ophir was the purest and the finest gold known in the world at that particular time. So not only do we have the people who have a heart to do this, not only are they willing to do this, but for them, that process, my friend, was an act of worship. So I ask it to you this way. When you place your offering in the plate on Sunday morning, when you give of your tithe, as you all are so faithful to do, does that feel like an act of worship to you when you put that money in the plate? I give to you, God, because you're worthy. The willing heart, my friend, makes it an act of worship. You get to rather than you have to. So many tithing messages, so many money messages that I've heard in my lifetime, and believe me, I've heard my fair share. This subject turns off Christians more than any subject known in the church today. When you start messing with somebody's wallet, you start messing with their life. I wanted to bring this to you to let you understand that for all those passages of Scripture that give you commandments about what you're supposed to do, I want to share with you about what you get to do. What you get to do. The privilege that's mine and the privilege that's yours to place our gifts in the offering plate to see what God's going to do with it. Sometimes it's a work of your hands. Sometimes, like Steve found out, it's a smile at the right time and in the right place. Listen, you have no idea. Most of us have no idea how we affect the people that God puts in our presence on a daily basis. We live in a sad, broken world full of stress and frustration and loss and difficulty and division. All kinds of fractures, physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, that we have the privilege to smile, to give, to do something without expecting a single thing in return, to be a part of God's economy, not just because we have to, but because we get to, and we do it God's way. We do it like David. We do it like the people that were there with David. They saw the need, they gave to the need. They did what they could to accomplish that which needed to be taken care of. That's what we get to do as a church, and it matters so much. David responded to this phenomenal offering The first thing he did was he presented a sacrifice with praise. And we've already talked about that. That's an offering of our lips. That's a giving unto God our praise and our glory. I mean, how do you tell? How do we ever tell God how valuable he really is? Are there any adjectives in the English language that would completely and totally cover us trying to tell God how awesome he is and how great he is? He's beyond any of the words that we will ever be able to form in any language on this planet. When we run out of words, God is still greater, and he will always be greater. And the thing about it is we get the opportunity to tell him. So the first thing David did was he didn't just say, well, thanks a lot for giving you stuff. You know, appreciate you. No, this turned into praise. And I love the couple of verses that I read a minute ago. Verse 10, wherefore David blessed the Lord before the congregation. Yeah, he didn't just go in his back room and say, well, we appreciate you, God, and I think we got enough. No, he blessed the Lord God before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. There'll never be a time that you're not worthy of our blessing. There'll never be a time that you're not worthy of our praise. And I love David's heartbeat here. Thine, O Lord, verse 11, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Wonderful words. Time will not allow us to give definitions of those words. For all that is in the heaven and the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. It's all yours anyway, God. All we're doing is getting the privilege to give a little bit of it back. We get to be a part of your economy. How special is that? We realize you've got all the power. You got all the greatness. You got all the glory. You have all the victory. And I get to be part of that. How much better could it be? How much better could it be, church? We get to be part of that whole process. Verse 12, both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might. And in thine hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now I want to go on. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. That's worship through praise. That's the first thing we talked about. Now we also talked about worship through strength. That's the giving of time and talent. And now we're talking about the giving of our resources. You want to talk about how humble a man is? Listen to these verses, verse 14. But who am I? And what is my people? That we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort. It's almost like David saying what I said a minute ago. Yeah, Lord, sometimes I feel like the whole world is a tuxedo and I'm a brown shoe. David said, who am I and who are these people that we would have this kind of a privilege to give it in this particular way? You are the great one. You are the one that brings victory. You are the God who has control over everything. You have riches and honor, and rightfully so. Who am I that I get to be part of this? You see, we have to change the way we think to change the way we do. Because we will do as we think. And when it stops being a privilege, it'll start being a burden. And at that point, that's when the devil begins to negotiate with you. Well, your little bit really isn't that big a deal. Oh, yes, it is. Something as simple as a smile brought a man to salvation the day before he left this earth in a terrible motorcycle accident. Don't you ever think that you have nothing to offer? Don't you ever think that your presence here doesn't preach? It preaches without you ever having said a word. By being here, you're saying it's valuable, God. You are valuable. You are worthy. And I get to be here. It's my privilege to be a part of this. And I want you to know that I believe that you're worthier. You're more worthy than anybody on this planet. And I give to you freely. I give to you because I want to. I give to you willingly. I give to you from a heart that is pure and right because you deserve everything I can give to you and then some more. He goes on to say in verse 15, "For we are strangers before thee and sojourners as we all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee a house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own." He's saying, all these billions of dollars worth of gold and silver and brass, God, you already owned them. They're yours already. Everything you and I have, my friends, God owns, because you can't take it with you. My dad used to say, you'll never find a hearse with a U-Haul attached to it. Pretty good visual, huh? I don't care what you got. You can't take it with you. When you draw your last breath here, somebody else is going to share it. It will not be yours. So why not share it while you have the opportunity to do so? I just love David's his transparency here, you know. Lord, it's our heartbeat to prepare a house for you where we can come and give you the praise and glory that you so richly deserve. It's our heartbeat that we are willing to give whatever's necessary to keep those doors open and to make that place beautiful. It's necessary, God, and we realize that it's necessary, and we get to be a part of all of this. So we give you the glory because we get to do the work. It's yours anyway. We're just going to give you some of it back to make sure it continues to work out like it's supposed to. That, my friend, is the right kind of heart when you take a look at stewardship. Don't ever look at it as have to, because that'll turn you off real quick. And unfortunately, most of the messages that I've ever heard about giving and stewardship is a have-to situation, and they take you to all these commands and all these scriptures that talk about, well, if you don't do this, this is going to happen to you. And then you got preachers out there who want to abuse the idea of giving. If you'll just send me a couple bucks, we'll send you this prayer rag that was prayed over, and you'll be just fine. Just rub it on that place that's sore. I'm sorry, folks. I'm stepping across the line here. God is the great physician, period. And if we don't understand that, then we've not understood the Word of God. David just gets real. 17, "I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here to offer willingly unto thee." David said, God, I understand. I offered it willingly to you. And now those who have watched me, your people, they're doing the same thing. They're doing the same thing. Verse 18, "O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. And give unto Solomon my son a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, to build the palace for which I have made provision." And David said to all of the congregation, "Now bless the Lord your God." And all the congregation blessed the Lord God of their fathers and bowed down their heads and worshiped the Lord and the King. Your giving, my friend, in its purest form and by its godly design, is an act of worship. Don't ever lose that thought. Don't ever lose that thought. Give what you give willingly. Give what you can by what you have willingly, whether it be a voice of praise, whether it be strength by doing work for somebody else who may need you or your help, or whether or not you open up your pocketbook or your purse and you give of your physical, financial resources for the glory of God and for our growth. It doesn't get better than that. David shows us in his person how it's supposed to be done. And he shows us in such a way that he affected the giving of this entire group of people so that when they did what they did, they realized that it was from the heart and that he instructed them to praise the Lord God And they did exactly that. So, yeah, when we sing and when we preach and when we teach and when we pray and when we give, my friends, let's remember that all of those things are a heart response to a Savior who gave it all. And I don't ever want him to feel any more pain because I didn't do what I'm supposed to do, what I get to do. What a great song, Randy. Thank you. So this is where we are. You'll hear me preach very, very, very little on finance because I believe you get it. Doors would not still be open here if you didn't get it. So may I say thank you from right there. Thank you. You are valuable. You are necessary. And I pray that God will do something special in your heart so that it can continue to do what it needs to be. We continue to do what we need to be doing. We're about out of time here. What they did after that was they had a service unto the Lord. They blessed him. They bowed down their heads and they worshiped the Lord their God. They sacrificed sacrifices unto the Lord that day. Listen to this. 1,000 bullocks, 1,000 rams, 1,000 lambs, and their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance. They celebrated what they got to do. I pray that our hearts will be right, pure, honest, and that as God gives us opportunity and God blesses us with praise and talent and financial support, that we will continue to be grateful because we get to be a part of God's economy. I love you and I thank you for all that you have already done for years and years and years. And I pray that God would bless you in such a way that we would continue to do that as well together for his glory. This wasn't a salvation message, but I can assure you if you're sitting here lost today, you have no idea what a great God we serve. What a tremendous price was paid for your salvation through the death of a perfect Lamb of God named Jesus Christ. If you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, don't leave this building today without making that happen. It's not complicated. You just need to realize I'm lost. I've never asked Jesus to be my Lord and Savior, and I want that to end today because I want to serve that kind of God. That's the God I want to serve. You can do that right where you sit. You can come right down here and share that with me, and I'll pray with you and for you, and we can make that happen. Maybe you need to join this church. Maybe you're saved and you've never been baptized. We got plenty of water. We'd love to do that. Maybe you need some altar time. Maybe you need to go home, do some rethinking about where you are and what you've been giving of your time and your talent and your resources. Never forget, I love you, and I appreciate you, probably more than you know. Stand with me and we pray. God, you're an awesome God. You're worthy of everything that we would ever give. I thank you for this giving people. May we be encouraged to continue that and increase that. Thank you for blessing us beyond anything we could even imagine. Give us a willing, loving, worshiping heart to do the things that you've asked us to do, even the things that you have commanded us to do. Let us realize that in those instructions and in our obedience to those instructions lies blessings that we can't even imagine. So thank you for all you are and all you do. You are certainly worthy of anything and everything we would ever give. Thank you for loving us that much. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come?
Hymn number 307.
Just as I am without.
can't overemphasize how good it is. Come and be blessed, okay? Do something different, maybe, than what you've been doing on Sunday night. We'd love to see you here. There's one more series, one more group of messages on worship. I hope I'm not wearing you out completely just yet. Preaching is worship too, believe it or not. For some of you it's not, but for some of us it is. But either way, never forget, I love you. And I appreciate you. Thank you so much. Brother Mark.
Brother Kenny, I just want to remind everybody that the Ernie Haas concert is March 6th. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. We are probably going to take at least two vans, so we've got plenty of room. If you'd like to sign up, we're going to order the tickets probably sometime toward the end of the week. And also, Brother Kenny brought up earlier about the CPR class. We've got quite a turnout for that, but we still have plenty of room. And if you're interested, we'll probably have it within the next month or so. The class, it should be about 2 hours. So make sure that you sign up for that. Brother Randy, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?